This week's episode is sponsored by the Brilliant Futures Institute.
The sage is that part that is able to smile, take a look at whatever's going on in life and go, you know, whether it's up or down, challenges, calamities, great wins, successes, and say, interesting evolutionary experience. It keeps you in an even Taoist, reflective, conscientious space where you're not spiking into winds, you're not collapsing into depressions and doubt. You're just riding the wave of life from a place of inherent humor and freedom.
Welcome to the Preeminence Podcast.
You cannot be a courageous leader if you're not vulnerable.
Your legacy is every life you've touched.
The only thing that changes our life long term is when we raise our standards.
The way it's always been done isn't necessarily the way it should be done.
What is your dream? What do you think 2050, 2100 is going to look like?
The most incredible sort of mystery, I think, is now the question of what comes next.
Stay hungry, stay foolish.
Welcome to the Preeminence Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew J. Peters. Visit preeminence.tv to learn more about how to create a preeminent presence for your business, organization, or personal brand. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or just ask Alexa to play the Preeminence Podcast. Today, our guest is Satyen Raja. Satyen is known as a private transformational mentor, advisor, and confidant to the powerful and influential. A remarkable living synthesis of Eastern wisdom and Western practicality, Satyen combines the power of the warrior and the wisdom of the sage to inspire audiences and leaders worldwide to live their highest impact and personal fulfillment. Having invested 35 years of rigorous study and practice in both creating enlightened business growth and developing higher consciousness, he is the leading authority on expanding success while serving the greater good without sacrificing the joys of personal life. Satyen has impacted over 100,000 students from over 50 countries around the world through his global human potential company, Warrior Sage. Satyen leads private one-on-one retreats for CEOs, high-impact individuals, executive teams, and is a corporate cultural advisor and trainer for elite companies. Satyen's fearless and heartfelt style transforms your limitations into strengths and your life into peak existence. So Satyen, thank you so much for joining us today. I want to start out by asking you a question. What is the warrior sage?
I come from a martial art tradition since I was young. And so I had very powerful mentors and teachers who infused these archetypes and invoked them inside my being. So for me, the warrior within us, all men, women, is that aspect within us which is able to face the challenges of life, face our goals, our dreams, our intentions, and move forward solidly, step after step after step. So it's really that part that brings courage, wisdom, consciousness into active forms of real work, you know, really doing action in the world. So ultimately, for me, the warrior is the action arm of love, of our highest gift. The sage is, sage represents the wise ones, the wisdom keepers of the old, we call sages. So for me, the sage is the place within us which is of transcendent wisdom, connected to our divine knowledge, our divine transcendent wisdom. I believe that there's the warrior already within us. It may be atrophied from lack of use or not seen or overused and exhausted. Many of us have been in extreme warrior mode and are tired out. Or some of us have never even cultivated that warrior aspect, but it's there within us. And the sage is that part that is able to smile, take a look at whatever's going on in life and go, you know, whether it's up or down, challenges, calamities, great wins, successes, and say, interesting evolutionary experience, as one of my mentors said. It keeps you in an even Taoist, reflective, conscientious space where you're not spiking into winds, you're not collapsing into depressions and doubt. You're just riding the wave of life from a place of inherent humor and freedom. So these combined, the power of the warrior and the wisdom of the sage for me makes for a really exciting as well as forward active life on all levels of being. And so I do my best to evoke that in myself, as well as to evoke it and to support the warrior sage aspect within all of us.
A lot of leaders that are listening to this are running into challenges, many challenges within one day. That's maybe just in their business. And then they go home to a family. They may have other challenges there with the children or their spouse or significant other. What are some practical ways for people to assess challenges as they come?
It's easy to say much everything. All philosophy is easier said than done, right? All of it. We know this. There's a plethora of self-help books and spiritual wisdoms from every master in the world, all right, from time immemorial. Most of us who are probably even listening to this podcast already have the know-how. The problem's not in the lack of knowledge. We know how to reframe. Many of us know how to take a challenge and, okay, let's look at it from its positive side. Let's look at it. Is there something I can gain from this? But from what I've experienced, no matter what it looks like, positive or negative, ultimately, all experiences are neutral from this warrior sage philosophy. And so as we find this inner equilibrium within our own being, then life is not a matter of challenges or a matter of wins and gains and losses. That's the old paradigm. The warrior sage paradigm is that I already am free. Just the fact that I'm here today with you on a podcast, there's other people slaving their life away. The fact that we have this time, even to listen, those who are listening, we have a freedom that very few beings on this planet have ever attained. Sometimes we forget that freedom in our pursuit and search and desire and clamoring for more freedom, which is natural, right? To have more money, more time, and all of that. But if we lose the fact that we already are free, then in fact, we squander our freedom. We don't honor it. We don't respect it. So what I like to do practically, and what I'm sharing with everyone here is take a look and see, where am I already free? Where am I already love? I'm not looking for love, looking for attention, looking to be seen, looking to be filled by romance or sex or whatever it is, or power. Where am I already feeling love? Where am I already embodying love and radiate that? Where am I already embodying freedom? So today I'm free to chat, free to choose a meal of my choice. How rare is that in the world? It sounds small, but it's not. So as I connect with the love and freedom I'm already experiencing, and then radiate from there, transmit from there, what's interesting is the effect is that you attract more love and freedom opportunities, but not from lack, from the fullness that's being exuded. That fullness of love and freedom that's already inherent within us, when we exude it on purpose, rather than get our minds trapped around what we don't have enough of, what happens is the people that are around us, our subordinates, possible business deals, people inquiring into our work to see is it a good match, would they want to invest in what we have to offer, they feel the love and freedom being emanated and they want that, rather than want the subtle lack which comes from always feeling there's never enough. So that to me is a discipline, the finding, the settling in, as well as the exuding of the love and freedom I already have. It's a discipline, but it's also a joy, because it slows me down to, I got an amazing wife, wonderful children, I got health. Whatever I do have, I get to enjoy from the realm of gratitude. So that's what I would say. That's the way to approach challenges, is from the fullness we have rather than from the emptiness we lack.
That's awesome. I love that perspective. And it's not something a lot of people talk about. They talk about lack, and marketing is all about lack and what you don't have. And the challenges that we face in our life just kind of amplify that.
Yeah.
Along those lines, I think one of the things that a lot of leaders are held back by is, what will other people think? And so when we get criticism, or anticipate criticism or feedback, there's a pause, there's a drawing back. What would you say along the lines of giving
a leader some ideas of how to think through the potential of criticism or actual criticism in their leadership.
Just before I was with you today, I was having my group coaching call with my CEOs that I have internationally that we meet on Zoom like this. And the same topic came up. So, because within all of us, right, especially as leaders, we're in front of people. We're in an eminent, preeminent position of influence. Influence is not something that we can walk away from once we've attained leadership. It's something we must own, really own at a core level. What I've discovered for myself, Matthew, is then rather than seeking to be liked, which is natural, we have a tribal energy, we're human, we're mammalian. For thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, if we did not conform and get approval from our tribe or our clan, we'd be dead, we'd be isolated. We wouldn't be in congruence with the flow. We'd be the disheveled, the black sheep. That is still in each one of our cells active, that desire to be included in a whole so you survive. The challenge is we don't need that anymore. We don't need it the way we did for thousands of years. Right? We're more autonomous and individual now than ever before in history, especially as leaders. So rather than seek acknowledgement, the power I've discovered is offering acknowledgement. Seek to look for what you like. Seek to look for areas to acknowledge. In our warrior sage philosophy, you know, the warrior is also the masculine, can be masculine energy. Not male, but masculine, which we all have as male or females. And the sage is more the receptive, the feminine energy. Like in the Chinese yin and yang, there's more of the masculine active and the feminine receptive, but it's within all of us. When we are looking to be seen, acknowledged, praised, that's the feminine within us that doesn't feel full. When we don't have enough freedom and we feel trapped and constrained by the issues and challenges and limitations of life, that's our masculine side that's getting irritated and feeling constrained. So the solution, again, is rather than seek more and more attention, am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? Am I doing it right? Is this the right way? Will I be seen? Will my work be acknowledged? Is this what the public wants? Is this what my sector wants? That's the common thing. We'll look for what the sector wants and fulfill the need. That's one paradigm. Another paradigm I want to enforce here is, what is your soul and mind's unity? What in my soul do I wish to offer? Is exciting for me? Is congruent, that makes me feel comfortable? It may be different than it was a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. What's the product or service where when you're offering it, you feel whole and complete by the offering of it? If you don't have that yet, you've got to keep reconscripting, not because of what you think the audience needs. It's because at the soul level, it fulfills you in the delivery of it. At a soul level, so what does that feel like? It feels like there's a comfort in being. It feels like you can relax and die on the spot, knowing because you've given the right thing in alignment with self. That soul and mind unity, the mind is like the soul can say yes. The soul can say, it can feel right and congruent. But the mind may go, that doesn't sound right. Then don't move forward. Don't make that your offering. The mind on paper can go, look at the profit margins. Look at what can happen here. Look at the potential growth. And so we may get excited at a mind level, but at a core soul level, we may go, this doesn't feel right. Empty, lacking, flat, not inspired. What I've discovered is when I can find and dial in my service so that my soul, meaning my heart, is fulfilled and feels yes. And it's not a verbal yes, it's a bodily yes, as well as my mind goes yes. When those two are together, there is no stopping. The level of leaps that happen personally and professionally are profound, and they're non-linear when the soul and mind are in unity. It's like you get to your goals, not taking the traditional linear route, but just by having that soul and mind unity, you go from here, you meet someone, they say, I want you to meet this person. Sure, you meet with them, and all of a sudden, they, like snakes and ladders, they jump you up like 6-7 levels, and you thought you had to, your mind thought you had to do all of this, and all of a sudden, you're oscillating at a whole other level of game and influence. So the essence of what I wanted to share with this is learn to feel, to slow down the day, to slow down the noise, put noise-canceling headphones on, metaphorically. Not just all over your ears, but over all the shit that's going on in life, all the fluctuations, noise cancel, and listen for the soul and mind congruence. When it's off, move slow. Keep investigating. Back off. When the soul and mind unity come together, then move forward with diligence, with clarity, with concerted actions in the marketplace of life. And then there's a real power happens because it's coming from your own inner congruence, which only then attracts the highest and the most profitable and the most effective. This is effectiveness training coming from within rather than from the mind.
I have been watching for a long time. And one of the things that I've seen in a few of your previous interviews is you had talked about how there was a time in your life you were all about business. And then you had your children and your wife, you kind of check in on from time to time. And I see many leaders in business talk about the hustle. And it seems like it's a 24/7 work hustle life. And then there's other people who say there's no such thing as balance. You can't have balance. What is the conversation you think is more relevant around the word balance?
First of all, I was in the hustle mode for years. And I think that's good when you're a younger man and a younger person to develop that hustle. The term nowadays is also crushing it. You know, I crushed it. Let's crush it. Over the long term, as a guide and mentor seeing people, I see them, those who are brandishing the term crush it, behind the scenes, they're being crushed. Health is faltering. They're gung-ho and powerful here and behind the scenes. They're addicted or crashed. They're crushed by the, and they're crashed. If it doesn't happen now, it'll happen a year from now, 2 years from now. It'll show up as you crush it, as you hustle, hustle, hustle. What happens is it creates a balancing force within our life. All experiences, anything that uses excessive willpower, from the yogic philosophy, anything that uses, or when you're using excessive willpower, there's always a balancing force because the universe itself is constantly coming into symmetry and balance. It's designed for everything to constantly come into symmetry and balance. So if you're crushing and pushing it, you're pushing the pendulum this way. You're pushing it. What will happen to that pendulum when you let go? It has to swing the other way. Then you're like, oh, I need to rest. I need to get away. I need to vacate, which is what we call vacation. I need to vacate. And then there's a swing back and forth. I did that for years. I almost lost my family because I was so crushing it and rock star in the world. But my beloved wife, I'm not tending my own backyard. My children, I'm not even giving them the time and the presence of a father. This many leaders have. It's a type of disease. I don't call it balance. For me, I call it equilibrium. Equilibrium is, balance is sort of flat, doesn't sound sexy, right? But you know what? Here's the thing. When you're in health, I'd be at work, right? I'd be in my business and I'd be thinking, oh, I need to come back home and spend time with the family. I'm with family and I'm thinking of all the incompletions I was doing that I needed to do. So I was never fully anywhere. In Zen, they talk about chop wood, carry water. When you're carrying water, carry water. Don't think about the chopping wood. When you're chopping wood, chop the wood. So now I've disciplined myself. It took time, I must say, because my father was like that too. So I had to learn how to unwire and unwind myself from these societal imprints I had of man having to prove to the world and his family that busting his balls is what it takes to be a noble, honorable, loving man. That was an imprint. Many of us still have that imprint. And unfortunately, a lot of women have picked up that imprint just to match and to carry forward this idea of having to have success. Where I'm at now through this journey is equilibrium to me is not a philosophy. It's not a luxury. It's an essential. Just like brushing my teeth, eating the foods that I need to eat, proteins, carbohydrates. If I'm not eating enough proteins, I mean, if I'm not eating a balanced diet, I'm not going to get healthy. There'll be imbalances. So in the same way, for me, equilibrium is the center of being. That means my physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects, I give honor and value and time in my day to. So results, practically, let me tell you, it sounds like a pie in the sky, sounds altruistic, but how does it end up? Well, in my own personal life now, I literally spend 25% of my week into my martial arts training. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 2 to 3 hours in the morning, 11 till 12, 1 till 2. This is the prime business hours. But by doing that, by immersing myself in what my deepest joy is, my deep, what brings me freedom. It's my spiritual practice for me. Like for someone else, it could be whatever it is. By saying yes to me, to what my soul really yearns for, which I know brings me into my power, what's happened is the people I get to coach and serve, they're like, if he's putting that first, where am I not putting myself first? And so they've put them and their body, their health, their joys first. Then all of a sudden that joy cascades into the other realms of life. Your heightened perception, your heightened valuing of yourself makes other people value you more. They want to pay you more. They want to follow you more. They want to hear you more. They want to drink of your knowledge and experience and wisdom more because you've made and I've made my equilibrium and my joy, my greatest desires, the center of my life. And then all the other stuff around it. All I can say is you must take the risk to do that, to go from the old paradigm of pushing, crushing, hustling, because don't make that sexy. It'll kill you eventually. It's only sexy when you're making money for a short burst period of time. How about sexy the last 30, 40, 50 years? How about the sex life that becomes tantric, meaning your whole life becomes around a transmission of profundity and magic and power? I think we're all capable of it. And as leaders, we must find a new way because the old way is killing not only ourselves, it's killing the world. It's destroying the world planetary-wise. Hustling and crushing it, the micro is crushing the world. But if we aim for equilibrium in our being, the transmission of that creates equilibrium on the planet. So if we know that, then we're merging with the Tao of reality rather than fighting against the naturalness nature already knows and shows us within our being. The indicator is there. Are you comfortable within your being, surrendered, acting, and also at the same time lowered in your importance? That's, to me, the essence. And it can be achieved by all of us.
Yeah, I think that it's a message that needs to be heard because there is a lot of crushing and hustling and I'm working 24/7 and that's a positive thing to, you know, post on Facebook and Instagram and everything. And so it is kind of a twisted version of success. This is how you get success. And so you had touched on this and I'd seen you talk about this with your lovely wife, the idea of sex, money, power. Mm. Could you talk about that and how that helps us become a healthy, inspired, energized leader?
Traditionally, sex, power, and money through the old philosophers and wisdom keepers of the past, they said those were the routes either to hell or to heaven, that they are our greatest kinks and blind spots and areas where the greatest leaders, as we're ascending in our heights, as we're growing in our leadership, in our success, in our eminence, in our influence, in our reach. Beautiful. What will happen is, as our power is growing, the unconscious kinks, weak spots in our being, the three main ones are sexuality, power, and money. Sexuality represents our ability to understand the life force within us. If you look at like Clinton, here he is, top of the power, Oval White House, and because of his sexual urge, didn't know how to contain it or manage it or whatever, almost lost his presidency, helping the world, you know, leader of the free world, and didn't know how to behave himself and master his sexual energy. Almost toppled the whole country, right, in a way, or at least his office. Somehow we made it through that. That's an example. But there's now we see now in media how many people of influence have used sexuality in a very inappropriate and nasty and negative ways, inflicting it upon people to try to, you know, in manipulations. And we know this is all over the news now. Sex, power, and money, they all go together. They are our deepest kinks. It's like an aneurysm when there's too much energy that goes through, wherever the weakest area of the wall is will blow. And that's where you'll get a leak. That's what an aneurysm is. In the same way, we have an aneurysm just waiting around sex, power, and money. Or we can heal and enlighten those areas within us as leaders, as influencers. So my wife and I, part of what we do is we work on healing and awakening and enlightening the sexual energy through three stages. The first stage of sex, power, and money, how we destroy ourselves through that in the world is we are focusing on me. Me wanting sex, me wanting power, me wanting money. That's fine, me, 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 but it stays at the egoic level of self. You'll get a certain amount of success, but never fulfilling deeply enough. Even when you attain the goals, you know, I want my goal of X amount, you attain it, there'll be a short elation followed by a flatness, because it's not the true yearning that we want, because it's in a me dimension of sex, power, and money. A more higher, elevated, more conscious realm is going from me to we with sex, power, and money. Negotiate. Would you like to make love today? Would I like to? You're treating each other fairly. You're treating each other with mutual respect, which is beautiful. Same with power. Let's share power. Money, let's share money. Let's make this as a win-win for all. So this is a higher paradigm, and many of us are aiming to infuse these paradigms and up-leveling ourselves, going from me to we. But I'll tell you something. Even after, if you do that for a while, that too is an elevation, but you'll go flat with that after a while if you're evolving. The next dimension is for the sake of all beings. Me, we, and the greater good. When we can see that my sexuality, your sexuality, our power as a sexual person is not just for myself, it's not just for we, but it's for the greater good, how would I be with women? How would I be with sisters, younger women? I'm hetero, so I'm using that as an example. How would I be with mothers and grandmothers? How would I be with women who are beautiful but are my daughter's age? Do I still want to allow my lustful energies to leak all over the place, or start seeing them as sisters and friends of my daughter, elevating my nobility of character? Same with power. If I go for gaining power, I'll lose it. We don't realize this, but the wisdom masters have taught us this. But I've experienced it, and I know many of it. But the gaining of trying to get power, eventually you lose it. If you realize you have power for the greater good, then you tap into divinity. You tap into the holistic structure of the symbiotic, natural structure of this world. Same with money. Money for just ourselves goes so far, but eventually can corrupt us. Money in exchange for we, giving good service, giving good value, elevates it. Feeling money is not yours, but something to steward, that the great spirit allows us and has given us, and that we enjoy in creating. How can I use this money to serve all beings, including my family and myself? Just this altruistic up-leveling of intentionality will tap you into a whole other dimension of sex, power, and money. We'll start to purify the unconscious imprints that are not well, that cause suffering, and elevate us to become the height of our power, of our influence, of our capacity to serve the greater good. And that ultimately, obviously, serves us. It takes care of the me and we. That's how we elevate these powers. And this is the crux, I believe, of what we're facing today as leaders on the planet, the mastery of sex, power, and money.
And much of what you're talking about is counter to what we're told in the media, what we're shown in movies, and what's been marketed to us. So it's a refreshing perspective for us to reflect on, for sure.
Well, either you want to be part of the masses and get a heart attack behind the scenes, coronary shit, and all this stuff that we see that happens when we're crushing it and we're going for it and we're extremely will-driven, all we need to do is come back to more surrender. That doesn't mean we become weak men by any means. It means that we're embracing surrender. We're embracing more of the feminine life force, the wisdom of Gaia, the wisdom of the plants, the animals, the earth. We're bringing that wisdom of naturalness back into our sphere. And the wealth then becomes multidimensional. You become the richest man and woman in the world, not based on the numbers you have, but the joy in your being, as well as your ability to purchase life experiences that you wish. That's really what money is for, is to purchase life experiences. If it's to gain or get, it'll go away. If it's to have life experiences, then you're in that third stage way of thinking.
I love that. I see so many things that are fleeting, so many things that I've gained and lost things. But those experiences, no matter what happens, I have them. I carry them with me for the rest of my life. And I share them with others. What do you feel that people are missing out on if they're entrepreneurs, they're CEOs, any kind of leader that aren't embracing or at least interested in researching this mystical or spiritual part of our being? I know a lot of what you talk about seems very mystical to people. Yet and when you're talking about business and you're talking about the spirit, I think people see them as two separate things.
Yes.
how do you bridge that with somebody who isn't spiritually, people throw this word around, conscious? They're not really aware of how their spirituality or the idea of spirituality affects their business. Could you explain what are some of the things that when we don't do that, what's going on in our life or our fulfillment?
You know, Bruce Lee said something along the line of when you're beginning martial arts, at the very beginning, a punch is just a punch. When you start getting into it, it's like, wow, it's dynamics and rotation and proper form and alignment. And it's like a whole thing. After you've done that for a while and you really mastered it, then a punch is a punch again. But it had this mystical phase in between where you're learning so much about it in different ways. The way I look at mysticism and spirituality, I'm very pragmatic. For me, mysticism, the spiritual mindsets, I consider them only valid if they have real life value that shows up. I'm very discerning because I came from a martial art background. You can't bullshit when you're training, okay? You can have all the philosophy in the world you want, but really how well you're applied in any of that shows up immediately. So extracting that and putting into business, I'll give you some examples. So one of my esteemed CEOs that I coach has created a very brilliant software with this team that makes it so that it detects when physical or machinery is going to break down far in advance. And the mission of the company, the mission of it is creating a world that doesn't break down. That's a huge vision. Imagine 10, 20, 30 years from nothing breaks down because you can sense it way in advance. And so the maintenance happens early rather than after things break. His idea was so powerful, yet for 12 years, he was struggling to keep it going. His business going week after week, week after week, week after week, because he was pushing, striving, hustling. His team was a bunch of brilliant geniuses. They're all, engineers, and they're all computer engineers and artificial intelligence experts. Brilliant. But they were masterful in those dimensions, but they didn't hear about these things that we're talking about. Equilibrium, good contact, bringing these values in. I started training him. I started bringing him on, started mentoring him. Literally within 2 years, the whole company turned around. The first thing that I started off with, I says, he's got such a beautiful wife and two lovely young children. I said, dude, forget, you can lose your freaking business. Right now, I want you to pull out your calendar. And I got him to put date nights with his family and his wife. Within 3 months, his whole relationship, he's like, oh, my wife loves me like brand new. Oh my God, I'm home. I get to love my kids, which he was not seeing much of. That inspiration and energy, because that was one of his values, core values that he had in here, but he wasn't living it. It's not mysticism. You already have values that you believe in. You already have deep things that you truly yearn for that are in your heart and soul that are valuable for you. If mysticism and spirituality means get your ass and life in order so you're living those first, then so be it. So when we got that practical timetable handled, his joy increased. Then I got him to work on his physicality. He was like this, hunched over a computer, 12, 16 hours a day, 6 days a week for 12 years. We got him on a full-on physical training routine, breathing routine, all of that. Business, boom, boom, boom. Deals, Satyam, I got this deal. I've got these people coming in wanting to purchase an order. How's that happening? When you're transmitting a vibration of inner congruence with what you value, the universe rewards you back with the congruent vibration. It shows you you're on track or you're off track. So the extent of the mysticism was to take a look at this world and imagine that it is a mirror reality of your inner dimension. So if I smile, the world smiles back. If I'm frowning, it frowns back in a mirror. The difference between the world and a mirror is the world does the same thing, but much slower. So we don't see the reflection. So if I've been frowning and stressed like this and like this for months or years, if I start shifting my attitude and transmitting, okay, I'm getting better, healthier. I'm spending more time with my family. I'm balancing out my budget. And now I'm even more focused when I'm at work. I'm able to put in 6, 8 hours, 4 hours, but with clear intention and without any distraction, because the energy is now there for it, out of joy, out of purpose, rather than slogging it. That creates opportunity. Your team gathers around you. It coalesces the team together, brings them into harmony and alignment. And then it brings opportunity, because then your suppliers, your purchasers, people are wanting what you have. They want not only the product and service, what they truly are yearning for and wanting is the emanation that you have. They're buying you, especially if you're in the service industry. They're buying you and what you're living more so than what you're preaching or what you're selling. That's the sobriety that goes beyond spirituality. But the spirituality really at the end of the day means soul and mind unity. Bring these together. Do that and your path will be quick, fast, assured, and you will attain your goals with the least amount of struggle.
I would love to kind of go into that a little bit more to give people some action steps from this. There may be people who are listening to this who are at their wit's end. Their business isn't working for them. They don't have the influence they wish they had for all the time and money they've invested into their business, their marketing, into coaches and everything. You know, I've heard it often said, if I had to start all over again in my business, here's what I do. What would you say to someone instead of starting their business over, what would they do? What if it were about their identity? Where would they start from a base of identity? What's an action step? What is it something that people can do? Because really, is what's going on in their business just a symptom of what's really going on with identity?
I'm going to give a very practical exercise everyone can do here. Write down a minimum of three major struggles that you have in business. I have a struggle with this employee. I have a struggle with enrollments. I have a struggle with my marketing reach. I have a struggle with my management. Whatever the struggle is, write it down. Then write down the emotions and feelings that are happening with that struggle. I feel this way about this person. I feel angry at them. I can't believe they're like incompetent. I've told them, I've taught them 100 times how to do the task. Get your struggle out on paper. Write down your top three struggles and write down how you feel about them. Express them fully. Your struggles. Now, something I learned from my mentor is struggle is effort laced with negative emotion, negative expectation, negative visualization. There's action, there's effort. Effort is required in life. So these people who say just dream it and it'll appear, maybe that happens once in a while. Sure, it does. But action is required most of the time. But struggle is an option. Struggle, again, is the extra emotion that we're adding on to the actions of life. Once you've taken a look at your struggles, these top three, now take a look. Now here's the next step. Ask yourself, how and where am I putting in too much importance on the circumstance? The energy drainer, the thing that causes us backfiring, the thing that causes a struggle and tension is excessive importance on something. You got to look for, in those three struggles, what do I think is important that I could lower my importance to? Geez, I thought, you know, I made the goal to have it in 6 months to have these numbers attained, or 3 months. I'm way behind. That is causing struggles. So what do? Lower the importance of it having to be attained in that time. This is the miracle. Inner practice of the warrior sage is the hunt within your psychology for excessive importance, which causes struggle. Once you've found, there's where I'm struggling. I'm struggling because I've attributed excessive importance to something. Then you do the next step of the sleuth work on your paper. You write down what I have made important that I can relax is. What I've attributed too much importance to that I can now relax and release is. And then you do a little ceremony. You just like, you take a few deep breaths. You find where you're struggling. So for example, I'll pick one today. I'll pick an example. All right. Yesterday, my daughter, she's a young lady. As a father, I'm always, you know, concerned what direction you're going to. And I was feeling this tension, this little struggle. Like, I don't know if I can do anything anymore to influence my daughter. You know, she's a young lady, so... And I wanted to feel I could keep influencing her in a positive way. And I was feeling she's not listening to me. And I was feeling struggle around that. And I told my wife, Suzanne, and I said, I'm trying to talk to her. She just keeps flipping me off. And she goes, and then she says, well, where have you put too much importance on it? And I looked within. I was feeling my struggle. I had to take one step back and go, the importance I have is that she needs to have a job and career and her life path this year. And I realized I was putting that on her because I found my life purpose as a young man. And I thought that she should too. I mean, she might find it when she's in her 30s, who knows, or 40s. I was pressuring the circumstance by putting my importance that I need to be now. The moment I realized that, I went, okay, I need to relax the importance that she attains her highest life purpose before 22. When I did that, inside, it's almost like the universe responds and says, yeah. Because then she wrote me back. She just called me out of the blue. Hey, Dad, I love you. Just miss you. Because unconsciously, my struggle around it was repelling her. Not only causing me tension, was also causing her emotional repulsion. You don't want to be around a dad who's got that energy of always trying to fix her or get her on track. Once I released and lowered my importance, I could just be with her as she is today, with a long-term grandfatherly view. Where can we do that today with the three main struggles in our personal or professional life? Hunt as a warrior would do, looking for the struggle, looking for the excessive importance, and then the third step is lowering the importance. Try that and watch how you kick in a whole other level of the universe working for you. It has to be experienced to be believed. But take it on. Don't take my word for it. Take it on. Experience this practical mysticism for yourself.
We're talking about practice. I've noticed for yourself, you've had several different practices that you've been a part of for 20, 30 years. You said martial arts for how many years? 30?
35 now.
35 years. That's a pursuit of mastery to me. The warriors.
37 years. 37 years.
Time flies. But I think.
And on that note, just to interrupt, I'm a beginner. I started a brand new martial art a few years ago called Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I was strong in Kung Fu. And then I said, I need to be a beginner again. And when I got into that, I'm like, I'm a blue belt, it's not a pure beginner. You know, it's like blue, purple, brown, black. You know, white, blue, purple, brown, black. So I'm just here and I love it.
Do you feel it's important for us to pursue mastery?
Yes. Yes. Just because of the pursuit, let alone the results. Not because of the results of what mastery can bring, because you don't know what mastery is. A cultivation and a practice, not an attainment. It's not an end certificate or an end belt or an end Lamborghini or an end nice home. It's not that. It's the daily way of being that stays with you when everything else can come and go. Your pursuit of mastery is your own silent power. No one needs to know about it. No one needs to hear how awesome or how cool you are in your pursuit of mastery. No one needs to know that. It's a silent power that you grow in yourself. And anyone who's really cultivating the silent, quiet power of self-mastery with any pursuit, could be art, could be business, fathering, mothering, music, dance, gardening, bonsai, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The what is secondary to the immersion of, can I pour my whole heart and being into this? Not just one day, not just 2 days, not 5 weeks, not 10 weeks, but as a way of life. When we can get and we choose to pursue mastery as a way of life in itself, it's its own goldmine. And the only one who really needs to know is yourself. That's ultimate mastery, the power of silent power, not brandishing your power all over the internet, not brandishing your stuff and your gains and your successes over the internet so people are seduced or see, I want that too. There's another level of power that comes from silent power, that comes from your soul and mind congruence. You know you're doing what you need to do to master yourself. And even if your wife, your spouse, your children don't pick it up, you know in yourself. And one day, others will feel it. So if you don't have a path of mastery now, find something that you would. If you do have a path of mastery, enter it fully. Not half-assed or half-baked. And do it just because the path of mastery is what you want.
Satchin, I want to thank you for sharing your wisdom of the sage with us today. Your example over the last 4 years that I've known you and followed you is the reason why I reached out to you, is because you have that silent power and your work is your marketing. You don't have to talk yourself up. I've just seen you be very humble in doing your work and doing it masterfully. So I love your example, and that's why I chose to interview you first. So thank you so much. Thank you for being on our program today. I just want to see if there's anything else you want to say, anything you feel that entrepreneurs, leaders, C-level executives that are listening to this, what's one kernel of truth, your truth that you want to leave with them?
In my heart to your heart, you can truly have it all. But it's not the all of the ego or the world's painting or other people's impressions or imprints of what all is. You can have it all from the base of equilibrium in your soul. What I'd love to share and impart and support you in is knowing that not only is equilibrium attainable, it's attainable in ways much easier, much more fluidly and really than we can ever imagine. But hold that yearning for the equilibrium of life in your heart, and truly, joyfully, the success in the areas that you might have thought would wane because you're valuing equilibrium higher, they won't. Maybe temporarily, but they won't in the long run. In fact, all the dimensions of your life will expand by having equilibrium at the core of your soul and heart. I've experienced it. I've seen many folks that I've guided experience it, go from that old world into this new world of magic and wonder and profound fulfillment. And it's there for us. And it's the journey and the evolutionary leap we need to make now for not only our own selves and our family, but for society and the greater good.
Thank you. Something you had shared with me right before we began was that you're shifting into this new phase of your life and your business. And much of your teachings that you've had for your trainings that people have paid for in the past, you're now making those available to the public. Where can people find out more about what it is that you do and the results that you've been helping people get and you and your companies?
My website is warriorsage.com. So please, you're welcome to visit there. And every month and every couple of weeks, we make more and more resources that are free and available for everyone to listen to, from relationship teachings to live seminars that have been recorded, and pearls of essence of that is available. So from business and life and all areas. So go ahead and you can listen to all of those and download those at warriorsage.com.
Sachin Raja, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, Matthew. An honor.
Thank you for listening to the Preeminence Podcast. Subscribe to hear powerful interviews and insights each week automatically downloaded the moment they go live. Share this episode with your team, your friends, and post it on social media. Let us know your comments and suggestions for the show at m@ascynd.net. That's the letter m@asynd.net.